1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter tonight. It's only 10 verses. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 4, I think, is a key verse in this passage. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. How to spot a backslider is what I've entitled this tonight. And that is a good question. How do you spot a backslider? I think it's relatively easy, because in one very significant sense, they are the ones that have no joy. They are the ones who don't enjoy fellowship with the Lord or fellowship with other believers. The Christian's life is one that is meant to be of radiant joy. Jesus spoke of joy quite often. In fact, if you read the Gospel of John and you read chapters 15, 16, and 17, Jesus had a lot to say about joy. For example, in John 15:11, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So Jesus said he wants his joy to remain in us, to continue in us, not come and go. Not to have joy one minute, lose our joy the next, but for joy to be constant, that it might remain in you, and that you might be full of joy, filled to capacity with joy. John chapter 16 and verse 22, "Your joy no man taketh from you." Joy is something that cannot be stolen from you. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but he can't steal your joy. Nobody can steal your joy, because your joy is something that is deep. It's inside of you. It is there because of a relationship with the Lord. And though things might be falling apart around you, you don't need to fall apart. You can still have joy, unspeakable joy. John 16, verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. And so answered prayer certainly brings joy. And answered prayer should be the norm, not the exception. So we have fellowship with the Lord, and we bring our requests before him. He answers prayers on a regular basis. He's always answering our prayers, and our joy may be full. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, who can tell me what that verse says? Oh, it's already up there. Let's read it together. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Rejoice in who?
The Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in his holy name. Rejoice in the Lord, the Redeemer. Rejoice in the Lord, the Eternal One. Rejoice in the Lord, the Just One. Rejoice in the Lord, the Omnipotent One. Rejoice in the Lord, the Intercessor. Rejoice in the Lord, the Coming One. Rejoice in the Lord, the Encouraging One. When you think about God and he's all of those things, the Lord is all of those things to us, we should have joy in our heart. Just the fact that we have been redeemed should bring joy to our heart. And to realize that God is the Eternal One, And he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he is eternal, he has promised us eternal life. And that promise cannot fail. He is just. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. How big is your problem? God is more powerful than that. And he's our intercessor. You know that Jesus Christ is our advocate. He sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints. That's where Christ is this evening. He is at the right hand of God. He is praying and interceding on your behalf. Boy, you think about his coming, that sure brings joy. Jesus is coming again, and he is the encouraging one. John chapter 17 and verse 13, again, Jesus said, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." The joy that we are to have is the joy of Christ. He says, "My joy, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, the key to the context of all of these verses is abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ, the vine, brings forth fruit. And joy is a fruit of abiding in Christ. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Psalm 51:12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." You know that twice the disciples were criticized because they had joy. If that's a criticism, that because of you, because you have joy, so be it. When I was young, I was always teased. They always called me the smiler. And you know what? At that time, I did not like it at all. But since then, I've realized that, you know, there is a lot worse things they could have called me. And at a young age, I received Christ as my Savior. So I look back at it, and even then, I had the joy of the Lord. The greatest ad for Christianity is joy. I really believe that. The greatest advertisement for Christianity is joy. If people see you and they see that you have love and joy, that makes them want to have what you have. Because the world lacks those things. You know, the two greatest needs that the world has is for love and happiness. That's what the world is seeking. And the Christian has it. As a fruit of the Spirit, as a abiding in Christ, we have true love and we have the joy that no person can take from us. And as the world sees that we love one another, the badge of discipleship, and as the world sees that we have joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, the world says, they have something that I want. Because to them, joy is elusive. Happiness depends on circumstances. But to the Christian, happiness doesn't come with just circumstances. Happiness or joy comes with a relationship with Christ. This is the purpose of John's writing, that they might have joy, that their joy may be full. Now this joy, first of all, is sharing a common life. Verses 3 and 4, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We share the life of the Father. There are two ideas in this word, fellowship: partaker and partner. We are partakers of his life. Peter put it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Remember the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal spent his substance with riotous living. The day finally came when he returned home. It was a day of great rejoicing for his father, but do you remember his elder brother wasn't so excited about the idea? He wasn't so excited about the idea of killing the fatted calf and giving this younger brother the robe and having this great feast for him. But the father said something to the elder brother that I'm sure would have really encouraged him, and hopefully he took it to heart. The father said to his son, "Everything that I have is yours. All that is mine is thine." Do you know that that's what God says to us as we fellowship with Him? All that I have is yours. We share all things in common. Jesus put it another way in Revelation 3, in chapter 3, and verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Sup with him. It means to share. That whatever Christ has, He's offering to us. If we invite you over for supper, if we invite you over for dinner or lunch, whatever you call it, would it be right for us to hold things back from you and serve ourselves the best of everything? Say we get this nice, big, juicy T-bone steak, and we give you round steak, hot dogs. Would you like that very much? That wouldn't be appropriate, would it? Do you know that when Christ invites us to come and dine at His table, He is offering us whatever He has on His table. He doesn't withhold the best from us. He gives us the best. We are partakers with Him. The good news of the gospel is not that we are to imitate His life, but that His life has been imparted to us. It's impartation, not imitation. Partakers of the divine nature. And then we are also partners in this life. Not only partakers, but partners. A word used of marriage. You enter into a marriage partnership. You share in the work. You share in the responsibility. Paul said that the Philippians were co-laborers or partners with him in the gospel. I'm glad that the Lord didn't give us the whole task of evangelizing the world and the lost without Him. But He has made us partners with Him in this great task. But verse 3 lays out our part. "We declare unto you that which we have seen and heard." We are to share this life with others. We are to share with others this life that we have as we fellowship with the Lord. We are to share with others the joy that Christ gives us. When Jill told an old friend she had become a Christian, the friend said, "I'm a Christian too." But Jill said, "I don't believe she is." How could she be and not share that with her friend? We share in the life of the family, fellowship with us. The word says. Number 2, this joy is sustained by a consistent life. This joy is sustained by a consistent life. Walk. It's called the Christian walk. Walk is in the present tense, including habitual conduct, that which characterizes the believer. Your walk is that which characterizes you. It refers to a consistent life. A walk is a series of one steps. That is not a walk. That is a step. This is a walk. You have to take the step first, but then you have to continue in that step. And as you continue in that step, it becomes a walk. When any child begins to walk, what do? They first take just a couple of steps, don't they? And then they fall down, or mom and dad might be there to hold them up, to catch them. But at first, it's just a step. And it's a while sometimes before they are walking across the room. One step doesn't make a walk. You may take a step. You might make a decision. But that has to develop into a walk. For example, the Bible says that there are a number of things that the Christian is to walk in. We are to walk in newness of life. Once you become a Christian, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We have a different walk now. We walk in newness of life. We don't take a step toward Christ and then a step back into the world. We take a step toward Christ. That's our step. But then we begin to walk in newness of life. We begin to walk a new way of life. The Bible says that we are to walk in good works. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to walk in Christ. We are to walk in wisdom. Because you make a wise decision one time does not mean you're walking in wisdom. You have to be consistent in making wise decisions, and then you are walking in wisdom. The follow-through is what counts. It's walking in the light. And what does that mean, to walk in the light? Well, a couple of things. It means that we are to walk in holiness. Light signifies moral purity and perfection. The character of God determines our conduct. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Where is God? He's exactly where He's always been, in the light. In Him is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We need to live where God is. We need to live in holiness. And number two, we are to walk in honesty. Light signifies exposure, that there is nothing hidden, that everything is clear and transparent. Hopefully, what you see in me is what I really am. And hopefully what I see of you is what you really are. You are transparent. You are honest. You are walking in integrity. So in a sense, we must live inside out, because it's the hidden things that are inside of a person that brings death and destruction, that kills joy. A man in the hospital was told, "You're looking good." He replied, "My looks aren't what's wrong with me." A person might look good on the outside, but have some real pain and issues to deal with on the inside. That's not where the problem is. And so we live inside out. The germ, the virus, the disease that lurks beneath the surface, that's the deadly, that's the dangerous thing. And so are you being honest with God? Are you being honest with others? Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in honesty? And number three, this joy is safeguarded by a cleansed life, verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. There must be a consciousness of sin. We have to be aware of sin. Sin as a principle, sin as a practice. And then once we are conscious of sin, we're aware of it, the next thing is we have to confess it. There has to be a confession of sin. If we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a continual thing that we do. As we sin, we confess. We don't have to wait until Friday night or Saturday night to go before a priest. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning. We can confess our sins no matter where we are. And we should be doing that. But also, this confession is to be complete. The word is sins, plural. Name them. As God brings sin to your mind, remember those sins and confess them. Confess means to say the same thing. It means to agree. Agree with God that what it is sin. You know, He's been calling it sin all the time. Some can't get deliverance from sin because they've called it everything else but sin. I heard one person say he didn't sin, he had a quirk. We redefine things all the time. Confession is simply agreeing with God that what I have done is sin. And until we recognize that, until we acknowledge that, until we confess it as sin, we cannot hope to be cleansed and forgiven. And so there must be a cleansing from sin, verses 7 and 8. Some people want forgiveness, but not cleansing. It reminds me of the little boy who fell in the mud and ran to see his mom. And he wanted his mom to forgive him for falling in the mud. But he didn't want his mom to give him a bath. I think some Christians are like that. Lord, I want you to forgive me, but I don't want to give up my sin. I don't want to be cleansed from this, but I want you to forgive me. The cleansing is from the pollution of the sin. Often we know God has forgiven us, but we still feel dirty and unfit. Then we need to understand that not only does God forgive, but he cleanses us from any stain we may have incurred from the act. Isn't that great? God not only forgives us, but he cleanses us, he washes us. George was talking about it tonight. Though your sin be as, let's see, how's that verse go? Scarlet, there. You shall be white as snow. Red like crimson. God wants to cleanse us from any stain we may have occurred from the act. Then notice in closing verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If is one of the biggest words in the dictionary. If we walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us. God doesn't forgive sin in the dark. God doesn't forgive sin if we want to hang on to it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then he promises to cleanse us as well as to forgive us of all sin. Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed this evening? These things write unto you that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. If your joy is waning tonight, maybe it's because you haven't understood some of these truths of fellowshipping with the Lord. Or maybe it's because there's something in your life that you're hanging on to, and it's called sin. You might have sidestepped it. You might have rationalized it. We're good at rationalizing. But tonight, honestly, you see it for what it is, and you would confess it as sin. And if you would do that tonight, then the Lord would restore your joy. Like the psalmist David, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Your joy will be sustained by a consistent life, but it also comes from a cleansed life. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands tonight, but I want you, with the Holy Spirit searching your heart, is there something in your life that has hurt your walk and has robbed you of joy? Would you just confess that tonight to the Lord? Lord, I'm agreeing with you that this is sin. Forgive me and cleanse me. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't take the risk of backsliding even one step. May your walk bring you forward and closer to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, only you know tonight how many people are confessing. I pray, Lord, that as they do that tonight, that they would find release. They would once again find joy. That they would even realize tonight how much they had missed that joy. Not aware, perhaps, that it was even gone. But now that they've got it back, to realize how much sin costs, how it steals our joy. Lord, may everyone here tonight be in a right relationship with you. May not one person leave here tonight not right with you. May there not be one person walk out of this church tonight that is not walking closer to you in their Christian life. Not just taking a step even, but to turn that step into a walk. Lord, that we might all walk in holiness, that we might all walk in love, that we might all walk in wisdom, that we might all walk in the Spirit, that we might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told. So bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell. As waves of glory roll, it is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen. In my notes, I had this thought about joy, and I skipped over it. Joy, in the Bible there, in John, is talking about the perfect tense, meaning full, complete, and continuous. Not silliness or necessarily happiness, but an artesian spring of joy which nothing on the outside can affect or atrophy. That is one definition of joy that I had found. And joy unspeakable, like a well springing up within our soul. Amen. Can we sing just the chorus again? They're quick on the trigger back there. There we go.